Well, I promised you a great show tonight, and it is definitely going to be that. I have with me in the studio gospel legend B.B. Winans. He is truly one of my personal favorite singers, even without his sister Cece, who we love. Shout out to Cece Winans, because I know she's listening. And I have always not only been a fan of him and his sister, but his entire family. This man comes from greatness. And he has written a fabulous, fabulous book about another great, great artist and legend who unfortunately is no longer with us. But he is bringing her memory back alive with The Whitney I Knew by B.B. Winans. Hello, Mr. Winans. How are you?
Hello, Nicole. I'm in the house.
Yes, you are. And I'm good. And you look fabulous. I just have to make reference of that. Now, didn't you go through some type of weight loss?
But when I turned 33, and this is, we can be real, right?
On the Nicole show. That's what I'm
talking about. Nicole, I just finished taking a shower and I came out and there was a mirror right in front of me and I said these words, "Who are these people getting out the shower?" And I was by myself, Nicole. And I went downstairs and that was the beginning of my transition. And I feel good. I lost probably 85, 90 pounds in all, but I'm telling you, it's so therapeutic. Now, I hate everything about it. Yes, I'll say it again. I hate everything about it other than the results. And so I think it is important. Even in my spiritual life, I've learned through the natural process of weight loss and fitness, the key word of discipline. You know, I think it is so important that we take charge of our lives.
Absolutely. And from what I understand, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you've never done any type of recreational drugs. I mean, you're just a pretty, square kind of guy.
You just said the truth. But you know, even when it comes to alcohol and wine, and I don't look down on people who drink red wine and everything. I just hate the taste. I never liked the taste. So therefore I don't drink any alcohol. But the strongest drink I drink is ginger ale. And I know that's boring to some people, but I get excited.
I love ginger ale, but I'll tell you, if you want to spice it up, have a Shirley Temple.
You know, I like Shirley, but I'll stick with my regular ginger ale.
There's no alcohol in the Shirley Temple.
I know it, but
the red just makes it look a little, makes it look a little spicy.
I know. But, okay. You know, I'm a party all by myself with my ginger ale.
Okay, well, I don't want to. Don't give in to my peer pressure. Okay, you do you. Now, I can't have you here and not talk about your music, your history of music.
Yes.
Now, you must have been born singing because, I mean, we're talking Ma and Pop Winans. You know, God bless them. We're talking your whole family. Now, Vicky Winans, just for clarity, was your sister-in-law.
Right.
Is there a rule in the family that you have to marry the greatest singer?
You know, it seemed that way, but no, there was not a rule. But even, you know, beyond my parents, both side of my grandparents, both sang, you know, as well. So music was always in the household. It was a part of the household. And it was something we enjoyed, not knowing that it would become our life and our livelihood, but it was something we loved to do, you know, whether on stage or off stage. So if you're around me, I'm singing. Constantly.
Wonderful, wonderful. And then you and your sister became like the Donnie and Marie of gospel music.
Yes,
you
know?
I mean, you hardly saw one without the other. I mean, that type of closeness, I mean, you have to be really, really close friends, I would think. So there was
no
ever any competition, though? Was there?
There was healthy competition within my family, as you stated, all of us sang. And it's funny that you said Donnie and Marie because my brothers used to say, "Oh, y'all think y'all Donnie and Marie." Love it. When I finally met Donnie and Marie, I was like, "Oh, my heroes," you know. But we used to, my brother, you know, talked about this the other day when we were at my home. how we had our own Grammy Awards before we were nominated for any Grammys. And if you were the host, you always won, you know. So it was always, my father taught us this, and he said this, and it stayed with us. One Winans win, all Winans win. One Winans lose, all Winans lose.
Wow.
So we was each other's fan club.
And that is so important. That is so important. And, you know, I hear that a lot with some of the stronger family dynasties, even in the Jacksons, you know, and bless them. You know, they've had their issues, but I really see them as a family that will stick together, you know, in time. So that's very important. Now, let's talk about someone else who was very, very close to you, Whitney Houston. Now, let me just tell you this. When I was approached about having you on the show, it was almost like some sort of ironic universal thing, because I was at the Beverly Hilton during the Grammys. That's where I chose to stay because I knew Clive's party was there.
Right.
I knew Whitney would be there. Brandy would be there. All of the, you know, people I wanted to interview. And I happened to be staying one floor below her. And so when all of that happened, I had just left Diana Ross. And I was going back to the Hilton. I said, I'm going to get ready, and tonight I'm going to meet Whitney, and it's going to be great. And when we walked in, there was this feeling. There was a lot of buzzing. There were people whispering, and so much was going on. And when we heard the news, I started getting text messages, and everything changed in that moment. And here I am, just a fan. I never even met her. I saw, you know, some of the people, you know, and some of the reactions and family members. Christina was there, and Miss Warwick showed up later. And it was unbearable as a family member. What can you tell, I mean, as a fan, what can you tell us as a close friend? Where were you, and what did you?
You know, it's still so hard to imagine, you know, that it's a reality. And, you know, I was in New York when there was a thing I sung with Dionne Warwick and Anita Baker and various other artists, fundraiser, and Dionne asked if I was going to California this time. And I said, no, I'm not going this time. I'm just going to stay in New York. And then I went back home to Nashville. Long story short, I was in a restaurant with me and my son when I started getting messages. And you have to understand, too, this was kind of a usual thing when you're in a spotlight like that. I've received numerous times an email saying, I heard Whitney's dead, you know, and in those times I've called her and she's answered the phone, and I said, oh, okay, so you're not dead. And she would laugh, said, no, unless I'm calling you from heaven, I'm alive. And so it just, you know, here's another one. And then my mom called me, and when I saw my mom's number, I clicked over because I was calling Pat, her sister-in-law. And when I saw my mom's number, my heart kind of dropped. And so when I answered, she said, did you hear? I said, yeah, I'm calling Pat. She said, well, we just hung up from Pat. Her and Cece had just hung up from talking to Pat. And she said it was true. And I just looked like my world changed. And I didn't know what to do or say. I went back because I just ordered. And I told my son, we're going to take our food to go. And my son said, okay. And I went to the car and I just broke. And then my phone rang saying, a cousin of mine said, you know, Sissy just called. She wants you to call her. And so I had to get myself together because, you know, you want to be strong for those, you know, that you feel need your help. And I tell you the truth, just like my mother did to me when my brother passed, I called Sissy and she said, how you doing? I said, I'm fine. How you doing? She said, oh, I'm hanging in there. But, you know, I had to call you because I know you guys were so close. And when she said that, I just a river, you know, just flowed. And I said, I'm trying to encourage you and you encouraging me, you know. But I found out through those tragic situations, mothers have a strength that's just beyond, you know, what we can even understand, you know. And so it's still today, you know, there's now moments that I hear her voice and I hear her sing and I can accept it, you know. And, you know, someone asked me the other day, did I see the movie yet, you know, Sparkle? I haven't seen it yet.
Me neither.
I don't know if I'll see it.
Yeah.
You know, until that until that moment when I feel, you know, I can. And see, for me, every movie that Whitney was in, we would see it together. And then we would go somewhere and eat and talk about how terrible she was in the movie. And as time went on, you're a little bit better. You're evolving. Mm-hmm. And so I knew I couldn't have that conversation, you know, and that experience anymore. So for me, I didn't want to, you know, to see it. And, you know, but in time, the healing has begun. Mm-hmm. And even writing this book was very therapeutic for me.
Yeah, that's crucial. Healing is definitely crucial once you reach the stage of acceptance. That's what I believe. Mm-hmm. I believe that there are three stages of grief. There's denial, anger, and acceptance. Mm-hmm. And those are the stages I went through when my father died. Mm-hmm. You know, first it was like, no, I refuse to believe it. Then then there's that anger, that why? Mm-hmm. You know, why you have to blame somebody, even if it's that person. Mm-hmm. And then once you accept it, then you can, you know,
you can heal.
Yeah, you can heal and find that peace. Now let's talk about the aftermath, and maybe that transitions into why you wrote the book. Every station, I mean, CNN, MSNBC, right, all day long, that's mm-hmm. all I saw was Whitney, mm-hmm. Whitney. Why? Drugs. Mm-hmm. Who was there? What happened? You know, mm-hmm. there was so much. As her friend, as family, how do you separate that from, you know, who you knew as a person? Or were there any revelations in that?
Well, the fact of one of the things, and I try to really be honest in the book, is the reality of our relationship and the reality of a true relationship. There's sanctuary there. Mm-hmm. And what we had with each other, not just me to her, but her to me as well, was a sanctuary. She knew she could tell me anything and everything. I knew I could tell her anything and everything, and it would stay right there. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find those kind of people in the public or in private, you know, that you know I can be transparent and don't worry about it being splattered across a piece of paper or the news. So any and everything that the news reported or I knew all about it, mm-hmm. you know. And so that's what love does, though. Love covers a multitude of faults and mm-hmm. failures. And one of the things, but her death really caught us off guard. Because we had walked through the real dark time where if that phone call came in, kind of expected that phone call. So Whitney was on the up. And so it was, you know, really had to sit back and say, wait a minute, this wasn't the plan. This mm-hmm. didn't look, what's going on?
Maybe if this were a couple of years ago.
That's what I'm saying. This would have been acceptable to a certain degree.
Yeah, things did seem to be coming together.
It was. And she was excited. She was excited about life. She was excited about the future. But you know, it's what life is full of surprises. Mm-hmm. It really is. And so, you know, you had to sit back. We had to sit back and if nothing else, trust God. I know that there's no mistakes when it comes to God. And I know as much as I loved her, that God loved her more. Mm-hmm. And so that's where faith really and trust has to kick in, you know. And I tried to write about it where, what do you do? Because, you know, I've lost loved ones. Like you said, you know, I lost my father and I lost my brother. And, it, you know, in my brother situation, it was the brother that I was closest to, that I would talk to every day. And so, I mean, you know, reality was I was talking to God and I was telling him, you know, take a different brother. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll offer you David. Just don't take Ronald from me, you know. Come on, God. If you got to take one, take Daniel, you know. But, you know,
we love you, Daniel.
We love them. You know, love them all, you know. But it's just learning to find the peace in the midst of the storm. Mm-hmm.